A few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit pressed in, "Arise." And it's really the sons of God to come to life. And I see my sister has been obedient this morning and gotten something that ties us together. And sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our lives. We just get so oppressed and depressed. And what the darkness is able to do is it pulls us down. And when we feel down, it even comes and, you know, kind of we feel like we're getting kicked and getting offended even deeper. And the heaviness comes and tries to destroy whatever God has tried to construct. And the odd part is this, sometimes we'd, I probably speak for myself. I expected God to come in and change circumstances and people. Okay? And the biggest surprise was that he didn't do it. Well, when I was up with the House of Prayer in the North Kingdom on Tuesday, the Lord had us celebrate the Passover a little early. And it's kind of neat how God works. How many know God allows things to happen that you would not expect? And when it happens, you say, "Oh my God, I mean, it's not working out the way I thought, and blah, blah, blah." And of course, you guys have probably never been there, but I visit there quite often. The neat part of that is that God's Holy Spirit uses all things for His glory. And He is in the earth, and He's in this earth. And we have a tendency to be selfish. Not all of us may be to the same degree, but we kind of all have that, you know, pull to try to figure out what God wants from us and what God wants to do in us. And as I was communicating with these that were struggling, one of the things that I tried to remind them is that they're tied to us and we're tied to them. They are not a separate house. They're called the House of Prayer. And that's God's plan. It was not something I would have ever imagined or conceived. Until one day, as I was driving on the highway, I saw a sign, and it says, "North Kingdom. Welcome to the North Kingdom." I thought, that's kind of cool. And that was on Route 91, entering close to St. Johnsbury. Mm-hmm. And it sat in my heart, and it just sat in my heart week after week. It would come back. And every time I would communicate with Claude, because we were, let's say, going through a test, and he was, you know, trying to figure out what was next for him, and I was trying to obey whatever the Lord wanted from here. Never believing or thinking that we could be connected to the level that we are. And in some of our conversation on Monday night, his wife said to me, "You know, what is so strange is that, you know, it seems that we've known each other for years and years and years, and it's not really the case. It's just the way the Lord has done it." And so, when we feel tied to somebody, it's a Holy Ghost nodding that takes place. See the way that the bread is made? Yeah. It's all chain linked together. When we are interwoven into each other, sometimes we don't realize the threat that you have created by being interwoven with someone else by the Holy Ghost. See, if it's done by flesh, it's not going to bug the enemy at all. But if it's done by the Holy Spirit, remember, one puts 1,000 to flight. Try that on for size. Close your eyes. Say, "Myself can put 1,000 negative spirits on the run." Judy, stay right there. stay right there. Yeah, because I'm going to need you there. Rick, that's you. Now, when your wife connects with your hand, so connect the two of you, okay? Two puts how many thousands to flight?
10,000.
When Judy joins, what happens now?
Exponentially, 100,000.
That's right. So you see, when there's three tied together, 100,000 are now on the run. Look at your neighbor, say, you're the irritation. When you're connected with me, I become a threat. And the threat gets doubled when I join with you. And when I join with my brothers, the numbers are outrageous.
No wonder.
Darkness doesn't like us. They are threatened by our unity,
by our harmony,
and by our intercession.
Hallelujah.
Now you forgot one part. When we come to the table and we're partaking of the same bread, what happens then?
We become one.
Common
union.
Coming into one harmony. Common union. You understand? When we are coming back into harmony, when we are joining together, darkness says, whoa! And they're threatened. And you wonder, oh, well, the enemy's picking on me. Baloney! You're picking on him!
Good.
He's just responding, for Pete's sakes. Wake up! He's responding to your harmony with the saints. Why is it a threat? And why is it hard to get to church on Sunday morning? Yeah, there's usually some kind of war games. Amen?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're a threat. When you realize, I remember teaching this to Gary, my youngest son. Well, sometimes he's the oldest. Anyway, he probably wouldn't appreciate that word. But anyway, the bottom line is this. I said to him, Gary, I had a word of knowledge that I needed to give him. And I gave it to him, and this is quite a few years ago when I was still at Grace. And I said, when you have resistance coming in from the darkness, please remember that it's not something that you have done wrong. Because the accuser is always going to try to put guilt on you. Okay? So you're now researching what you have done wrong. The enemy's not going to try to come around when you've done something wrong. It's just the opposite. It's when you do something right that he's going to come around. He's going to come and accuse you because he's a liar. And if you don't defend yourself, what happens? It gets worse. Okay? So, I taught him this and we talked about it. And a few days later, he calls me. Dad, I was going to church on Wednesday night. I got to Red Bridge. Those of you who know the back road from my house. He said, I started to have chest pains. They were so oppressive that I thought I was going to explode. And the closer I got to the bridge, the more angry that I got. I said, what did you do? He said, well, I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I said, yeah, and what happened? He said, well, it was still activating until I threatened. I said, well, what did you threaten with? He says, I told the darkness that if he thought he was going to keep me away from church, that I was just going to go double next week. He says, and I crossed the bridge and all the pain was gone. James 4:7, humble yourself before the Lord, respond, and the darkness has to
flee.
You got it. The darkness has to flee. What is it trying to do when we come in together? In communion, common union, together, it tries to break us apart. It tries to destroy us. It cracks us open. But you know what? We are tied together under one name and one precious blood, one sacrifice that was given up on that cross for us. That's how we are lined up and coordinated. So today, I lift up the house of prayer, the North Kingdom house of prayer, and all the other houses of prayer that have been connected to us. There's one in Tel Aviv right now. Totally anointed by God. Father, we lift up this bread and we declare the words that our Savior gave us. When he took the bread, he gave thanks, and I do likewise. I give you thanks, Lord, for this bread. I give you praise. I give you glory. I thank you for the harmony that you have constructed in the houses of prayer all over the nations. I lift up this cup of salvation, the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I say to us, arise. Arise, sons of God. Arise, daughters of God. Come into the fullness of what you've been called to do and to be. And I ask this in Jesus' name. I lift up our government. I lift up the saints all over the world. I lift up the church that needs to come to grips with what's going on and let it stand firm and strong, for the Lord's plan is about to be manifest. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. I also want to lift up the marriages all over this area. Let the marriages be coming into line with God's plan. That includes mine. Just be obedient. The table is open. Bring your Bible, and if you did, we're going to go to the Word of the Lord, and we're going to look to Him for a victory. This morning, Father, without you, it's just going to be a lot of words. But with you, it's going to be awesome. And I want to remind you that in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is approaching the city. And I want to remind you, give some of these out for the feast this week. We'll be gathering tomorrow night at 7, Tuesday on. And the schedule is in the back of the card, so you might as well take one home. Give one away to a friend, and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus made a declaration in verse 17, so we're going to just kind of take a peek at that. Mark 11, verse 17, and as he taught them, he said, "It is written, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So if you wonder where the name of the church came from, it's from his word, making it very clear what he wanted. But then there's an addition. It says, "But you have made it a den of thieves and robbers," or a den of robbers and thieves, okay? Why? Because man has his own idea of what church should be versus what God wants. We've also known that Jesus came as a baby, but now he's coming to what? What is his return for? When everybody says, well, Jesus is returning, what is he returning for?
His church.
His church, okay. What else? For?
For his people.
For his people, okay.
His grown-up bride,
okay. What else?
He'll reign as king.
Huh?
He'll reign as king.
He'll reign as king, correct. As I was searching for the heart of the Lord this morning, I saw the Garden of Olives. I recall the gate that has been sealed up, the Eastern Gate, and at one time it had a bridge, and the bridge went up to it from the side road that is now leading into the city, And Jesus was riding, obviously, on a donkey. But there was a yelling going on. And it was about the Son of David. Now, everybody realizes that David was a king. But he didn't get to be king overnight. He got to be king because he obeyed. And he ran after the Lord as much as he could. So, obviously, you're going to find that verse 10 says, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Has it come? Has the kingdom of King David come? How many were going to have an opinion that the kingdom has not arrived yet? How many think the kingdom has already come? But it's within. So there's two interpretations right away. I mean, we have the kingdom of God within us. We have the king within us. But is he ruling and reigning in the earth? Not yet. What is he waiting for? Huh? All right. Just remind you now, his time is what we usually say, and I agree. There is that manifestation of his kingdom coming. But he's waiting for unity and harmony and recreation of the hearts. So that the motivation of every saint is not going to be about me, myself, and I. But the motivation is, how can I die to myself so that I can be joined up with others like myself so that we can be an impact wherever we go? And if we can become an impact wherever we go, the changes are going to be dramatic. But you can't do it by yourself. Remember at the beginning we went, and I kind of picked on Judy over there, standing next to Rick and Laurie. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, three puts 100,000 on the run. Okay? That's not make-believe, that's scripture. And I could take you there and give you all the... But that's not where we're going. We're going about the kingdom. Jesus says, I'm about my Father's kingdom. What is his kingdom for? To transition the heavenlies from what it's been to what it was originally planned to become. And when that happens, all of the dark forces, Ephesians 6:12, will have been dealt with. And who's he waiting for to take care of that? Us. He's waiting for us. And we're waiting for? Oh, who's going to win? Him within us. When we start focusing on each other and saying, how can I help? How can I be of assistance? How can I lift you up? Verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany, or Bethage, and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? That's a donkey colt, for your information. How many know that sometimes we act like donkeys? What's one of the attributes of a donkey?
Know-it-all.
Know-it-all, and I know it, and don't bug me. Now, notice that this particular donkey had never been ridden. Get a born-again, spirit-filled Christian and let him on the loose, and you're going to find that he's going to be doing his thing and not the Lord or the kingdoms. But who's capable of riding him until he calms down? Look at your neighbor, say, he's riding me. And I still don't like it. Welcome to the donkey club. And you don't have to pin a tail on him. He's already got one. I'm teasing, but I'm giving you an insight of yourself and me. We all have our own agenda for how we're going to save the world. Okay? How we're going to save our family. I started at 27 praying for my family. Praying that they would come to Christ. I'm now 71 and I had a victory over the weekend. Why? Because it was God's timing and he had prepared both our hearts and this donkey was now in submission. Come on, please say amen. Good heavens, do you think you want to be the only donkey in this place? Thank you. We've got a few friends. I feel more comfortable now. Why do you think he was born in a stable?
A donkey? Yes. I'm calling your brother. Because both of you had to come together.
That's right.
So they're both, you know.
Why do you think Jesus was born in a stable? What was at his head? Blowing out some hot air to keep him warm. Yeah. Why did he ride that donkey into the city? One that had never been ridden. To give us an example.
Oh, I get it.
How stubborn are we? He's the only one that knows. How much of the me does he want out of me? All of it. That's when he'll be able to return. All of the me parts. Now, there were many parts of me. Many different aspects of me.
So that's why he burnt me this morning.
That's right. He lets the darkness be dealt with by his fire. That's what he does. Okay? Now watch. Those, verse 9... Well, back it up a little bit. Verse 7. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, they were leaving Bethany. Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Now, he's looking for fruit, it's not the season, and the tree is there. The tree, by the way, represents Israel. Okay? It's got leaves, but no fruit. Simply saying that he's prophetically talking about this country. Israel. No fruit. He is literally saying, look, I've been looking for fruit in your country for years now. 3.5 to be exact. And I've seen nothing. And this is a picture of your future. I believe that sometimes he's looking at the American church and he's saying, when are you going to wake up? When are you going to let go of your selfish attitude and what you think is right? And when are you going to try to convert your neighbor? How about converting yourself and getting rid of the donkey? You know what? I couldn't do it. There's no way that I could get rid of that donkey on my own. I had to make a commitment. I had to say, Lord, there is no way that I can change me. So would you please do it for me? Amen. Would you ride me to the end of the road, wherever that happens to lead, wherever it happens to go? But the bottom line is, if you let him, he'll do it. He'll bring that fire in to wherever it needs to go. He'll let that fire burn until the old parts of you and me are gone. And your plan and his are going to become one. And guess which part is getting burned out? It's yours. There might be a few corners that you've seen in the realm of the spirit where he's shown you things about yourself that you'll be. And usually, this is what it sounds like. I don't think I want to do that job, God. No way. Okay? Wednesday morning, I got a telephone call. I was still up in Vermont. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just giving you a heads up. Had a conversation with a young person who was quite upset about God. And I've been there, so I can relate. Upset with what God was trying to teach and counsel. And he made a comment. Well, he says, you and so like to be pastors. And he says, you love what you do. I said, I want those words dropped out of your heart. He said, but you do. I said, no, I don't. I said, that's the one job I didn't want to do, because for 20 years I had to be the patchmaker and the matchmaker and the healer between the pastor of Grace Church of Christ, and for 20 years I kept trying to turn the saints around so they'd stop complaining about the pastor. Guess who's the pastor now? And I know how many phone calls you get. That's right. It's always the pastor's fault. Praise God. Who in the heck wants that job? Not me. I didn't want it. Told the Lord, keep me out of this. Yet there was something inside drawing me. And I kept saying, I don't want this cotton-picking job. Can't stand my own rejection, never mind having the rejection of all the saints. After all, something goes wrong with the church. Oh, well, it's the pastor's fault. Yep.
That's right.
Amen. Can you agree, please? Yes. You know why? Because the donkey's falling apart. Pieces of him are falling apart. I said to this person, you have no idea what you're saying. I never wanted to be. I never asked to be. But God laid it on me. They laid their what? On the donkey's back. What do the mantles mean? Their garments. They laid their garments on the donkey's back. What were they doing? The anointing that's on you and me. It's too big to fit me. But if I put it on the donkey and he takes care of the donkey, guess what the anointing will do? It'll submit to him. And then you'll be able to accomplish what he's created for you to be. He's got a plan for each of you. Close your eyes right now. I'm hearing the war inside. Close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus, you've got a plan for me. You have a cloak, an anointing. A perfect one. For me. But you know what, Lord? If I keep it on myself and do it with me, with what I think, it's going to fail. But if I lay it on the donkey, and Jesus rides the donkey, he'll get glory out of what he's placed on me. Because his plan and his kingdom is being established in me by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I am dying to myself. And sometimes I don't like it. Amen? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Blessed is the what? coming kingdom of our father David. King David is probably the most dramatically described individual that's in the Bible. You see all his flaws. Why is Jesus called the Son of David? There was a season in my life where I kept saying, God, why don't we know more about the Lord? Why don't we know more about Jesus' childhood? He said, why is he called the Son of David? Because he went through very similarly what Jesus went through, and what King David went through are almost the same. And then I finally understood why he was called the Son of David. Not because he would become the king overnight, but he would become a king in the hearts of men. And then, as the hearts of men would melt by the fire of the Spirit, then their anointing would come to life. And they would be united and become an incredible rock that would pull down all of the confusion that's been going on in the world. You know, when the friend of ours that's coming in this week comes to explain what his coming down the highway of life and the kingdom that has been established comes to life in the saints, you're going to see the fruit come back, not just to the church, but to Israel as well. You see, his plan for Israel isn't finished. His plan for Jerusalem isn't done. His plan for the house of prayer isn't finished. It's all under construction. He's got an awesome plan. And you know what? There are times when I had to really look at myself and say, okay, God, there's no way I want this. There's no way that I can. But let your plan unfold.